Hello and welcome to Be Vigilant. I'm your host, Matt Dean. Today with me will be my good friend, Jared Harris. First of all, we'd like to thank our sponsor, the Thrasher family. Once again, thank you guys so much for your kind donation. That's keeping us on the air and doing what we like to do here. Jared, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
I didn't just grab you randomly off the street, did I? We have a topic to talk about today.
Yeah. I was about Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yep.
I was raised as one of them for 17 years.
17 years. Is that a lot? That's a lot of doors you knocked on then, huh?
That's, yeah, quite a few. Yeah. Every Saturday going out.
Yep. And I've got to be honest, to me, that's probably the biggest thing I know about Jehovah's Witnesses is they knock on doors and try to tell you about their Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that like growing up in the background, growing up in a Jehovah's Witness family?
You know, it was interesting. It wasn't really as different as people think it is. Mm-hmm. You know, only thing really different is didn't celebrate birthdays or holidays or Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice, normal family. Went to church 3 times a week. Yeah, so it's just pretty much the same as everybody else's family, just different religion.
Mm-hmm. I guess these days I'd like to not celebrate birthdays. You'd stop getting older, right?
Yeah, that would be nice as you get older.
Yeah. So, you know, some people might have misconceptions about Jehovah's Witnesses, but like you said, just nice family upbringing, didn't cause any strife.
No, nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my parents were nice people, and yeah.
So today I know you through church and through our other ministries, and so you are a Christian, right? You saved child of God, correct?
Yes, I am today a Christian. Yeah.
So did that come through the church, Jehovah's Witness, or was that a separate event?
No, that was a separate event. You know, as you go through being raised as Jehovah's Witness, it's I call it a religion of fear. Because as you get older, that's what you realize. They're basically teaching you to be scared every second of the day of your salvation, that you aren't good enough. There's so many works you have to do. And growing up, I really didn't realize that. It slowly came on through incidents that had happened. You know, one, I was about 10 or 12 years old, I would go out in field service with my parents knocking on doors, and there was a gentleman, I think he was about in his 20s, that I kind of latched onto, a good friend, and he ended up getting disfellowshipped, kicked out of the church, weren't supposed to talk to him or associate with him, but that was my friend. You know, I was 10 years old, it was my buddy, and we were at church one time, and he was there, and I said hi to him, and I was scolded for talking to him. And that was one thing that really sticks in my mind to this day. And then just going through, having my doubts, you know, wanting to question things, which you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to show doubt of what your faith is. And so I'd go online, which you're told not to go online, and I would search, you know, different scriptures and different other things from other religions, and things just weren't adding up. You know, as I got older, I kind of could see that this really isn't the Word of God.
That's a wild, wild story. How old were you when you did accept Jesus?
I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
I was 20, so it was about 4 years after I finally decided I'm done with this religion.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was never baptized as a Jehovah's Witness, so I was never part of the church. But my parents were, my brother was, my sister was, but you know, my final straw was I was about 16. We were at a get together with, other Jehovah's Witnesses and elders. And I don't even think I've told my wife this story, but, I was physically assaulted, at that place, by an elder of the church with everybody there. We were fooling around. I was grabbed by my throat, slapped around, thrown down to the ground. And I just sat there as I watched my father do nothing because of this man was an elder. It's just, that's not what you do. You know, they're in charge. So
yeah.
That was it. And that
would be it for me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that put me off of that religion, of all religion, for a while. It was 4 years later that I finally, accepted Christ into my heart. And
amen.
Yeah.
That's awesome that you were able to live through that. Because as you're telling me that story, I'm thinking of an elder in my church put his hands on my child or put his hands on me. You know, we're supposed to be pacifists, but at the same time, that's what gets me about churches that really lean into boards and governing bodies. Mm-hmm. That's not what church is supposed to be set up for.
Yeah.
To me, even the pastor is no more special. We should treat the pastor special and the deacons because they do a lot of work for the church. But in God's eyes, we're all equal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think Jehovah's Witness is not the out of the norm. The Southern Baptist Convention, they get together and they decide the rules for their church for that year or whatever it is. So, it to me, it just takes the purity out of church when you're going to let a governing board of sinners be in charge of how other people operate.
Yeah, yeah, you have eight men telling you what God has told them for you to do, and you can't question it.
So that's how it comes. To get into the nuts and bolts of Jehovah's Witnesses, each, they called kingdom halls.
Mm-hmm.
Are they run by a governing board of elders then?
So yeah, each kingdom hall has appointed elders that do the day-to-day operations. They give all the talks. They're called talks. They're not sermons or anything like that. But the talk is from the approved Watchtower and Awake material, which is the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is basically the head of the Jehovah's Witnesses, run by the eight men who have been called by God to run the only truthful religion.
Gotcha. I will have to say, and you know, if you've listened to this show before, you know, I like to talk about propaganda and politicians and things like that. Jehovah's Witnesses have done a great job with propaganda. I've been given literature to me before, and I thought, oh, this is neat. Flip it over. Oh, wait, I've got a church already. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the next house, right? So what differs, would you say, you know, now being a Christian from being a Jehovah's Witness before?
Well, now I feel the love of Jesus in my life.
Amen. There you go.
You know, it took me a long time to get here. I still, to this day, have issues reconciling things in my mind, which is so. Yeah, when I was saved at 20, I still was running away from God. It wasn't really till I was 34, 35 that I finally accepted that this is what I needed to be doing and following the Word of God and drawing closer to Him.
Mm-hmm.
He drew closer to me. And it's never been better since then.
Amen. At least you didn't have to wait like Jonah till you were in a whale, right?
Yeah, right.
No, yeah. I think a lot of us, we don't realize that the love of Jesus is there. And even when we accept it, we still think that we can do it on our own, right?
Yeah, and I don't have any fear now. I know there's no fear of me losing my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
I know I don't have a certain set of rules that if I don't follow, some man's going to tell me that I'm not going to heaven. Jesus died and for me, so I can go to heaven, and I have no fear that that's not where I'm going.
Amen. That's a beautiful thing. So do Jehovah's Witnesses, do they use the same Bible? Do you remember this? It's been a few years since you've been hanging out inside a kingdom hall, right?
It's been a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they use their own Bible translation, the New World Translation, which, if I recall correctly, was translated by four or five different Jehovah's Witnesses back in the day. I can't remember exactly when, but they didn't have any formal education. I can't remember who it was, but he was actually on trial, and they asked him to read the Greek alphabet, and he didn't know it.
So then he was one of the people that translated Greek?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Hey, I will say I'm looking, you know, I'm cheating. I have the computer in front of me, and yes, it was five different people. I don't have a date either, but so you know your history of Jehovah's Witnesses. Here's a big question. I think a lot of people are wondering out there, do they believe in God, the Trinity, or what? Jehovah, we all know, is the word of God, right? Or the word for God.
Right.
So what is their view on who God is and what he is?
So God is a single being. Jehovah is God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the only begotten Son of God that God created.
Fair enough. Well, I don't know if he created, but yeah.
But they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. There's no Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
It's just God, Jehovah, and that's it.
than some guy that lived a really good life named Jesus.
Yeah, who they do have right. They do say that he died for our sins. His sacrifice is what paid for our sins. But okay. Then there's a little more to that in order to be saved.
Such as doing works and things like that? And
yeah. So if you actually go to their website, it's pretty interesting.
I'm a little scared. I'm scared of websites, and I don't want to be tracked.
So what you need to do is you need to get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be filled with the accurate knowledge that they provide.
Okay.
You need to tell others about Bible truths, which are their truths. Repent and make a personal dedication. And so they say an important step you need to take before getting baptized is to dedicate yourself to Jehovah.
Hmm.
When you dedicate yourself to Jehovah, you say a prayer in which you promise to worship only him and to make his will the most important thing in your life. The only problem is all this information they give you is from the Watchtower and Tract Society.
Mm-hmm.
They actually don't recommend that you read the Bible on its own without their help. Otherwise, you'll become like all the other false Christians in the world.
Because these people, they know how to do it and you don't.
Right. They are the only true source of the Word of God.
I mean, they're so close on so many things. And it seems like maybe they threw a little Catholicism in there, too. If you're Catholic out there, I'm not trying to offend you, but you don't need to work your salvation. And back in the day, priests didn't want their parishioners reading the Bible. That's why they kept it in Latin for so long, right?
Right.
I think the inspired Word of God was left for each one of us to have a relationship, right?
Yeah, if God didn't want us to be able to read the Bible and get out of it what he wanted us to, I think we probably wouldn't have the Bible.
Mm-hmm. It, you know, so close on so many things. Do you have a background on why they don't celebrate holidays? This is always, to me, this is one of the most interesting things. Is it just because it's celebrating something besides God?
Yeah, there's a few different things. One of them that I was always told growing up was, well, if you're celebrating a holiday, you're taking the focus off of God and putting it onto something worldly, which, you know, that makes sense. You know, they go back to all holidays or pagan holidays that have been kind of twisted into be more suitable for other people to handle, which, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, birthdays, their thing about birthdays is, well, the only birthday in the Bible, I think John the Baptist got his head cut off because that's what was asked for as a birthday present.
Yeah.
I want John the Baptist head on a platter. So, you know, nothing too horrible, you know. It is mainly about taking the focus off of God and putting it on yourself or something else. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, totally. And like I said, you stop getting older if you stop having birthdays.
Right.
But what I didn't like when I did a little bit of research is they don't celebrate Christmas because that's not when Jesus was born. Fair enough, but I still want to celebrate the birth of my Savior, right?
Right, you would think, yeah, if he was never born,
mm-hmm.
he would never be able to die to save us.
Mm-hmm. And he was probably more, you know, from what I've heard and been taught, probably born more towards the springtime, maybe, I think is what people have said.
Yeah, they gave a different date. They say more along the summertime because shepherds wouldn't be out in the pasture with their sheep and be too cold.
Yep. So to me, if we're celebrating Easter and Christmas back to back, we can't really take those days off work, you know.
Right.
Well, let's separate it out. No, I'm this is just my, you know, American worldly joking going on here, but to a point, they've got a lot of good points keeping your focus on God. But it comes back to that Jesus and the Holy Spirit don't live up. And that was going to be my next thing to talk about. They feel the Holy Spirit is real, just in a different way than the rest of us Christians do, right?
Yeah, what I was always told is the Holy Spirit is God's active force. You know, they don't believe in the Trinity, so it's not a third person, a third part of the Trinity. It's just God's active force, almost like, you know, Star Wars. That's how he uses his force to direct things.
Gotcha. Star Wars, for you out there, Luke Skywalker and, you know, Han Solo flying around. And Luke Skywalker had the force and can move things with his mind. But if you don't know what Star Wars is, maybe you've been living under a rock for the last 40 years, 50, however old that movie is. I'm sure people out there have heard that they don't accept medical help. Is that 100% true, or is that just one of those urban legends?
They accept medical help up to a point. They refuse blood or blood platelets. I think it's kind of a new thing that they do. It's not actual blood. And that's actually gone back and forth through the years of the Jehovah's Witnesses' existence.
Really?
As with actually everything, which I probably should have mentioned before, but birthdays, holidays, accepting blood, not accepting blood, it changes every, you know, 10 or 20 years. So they used to accept blood, and then they didn't, then they did, now they don't again. They take that back to a scripture where God says, don't eat blood, don't ingest blood.
Fair enough.
Which makes sense. You do get sick if you do that, but...
That's gross.
So actually a lot of people have died from not accepting blood.
I mean, then they can't be door knocking then.
No, but what they will do is they will show up to your bed in the hospital to make sure that you don't accept the blood.
Really?
Yeah. I've heard stories of witnesses and elders showing up to make sure that, because you're in such extreme injury and you can't make decisions for yourself, they will make sure that you do not get the life-saving blood that you need.
That's just wild to me. Because we're told to go be fruitful, multiply, and share the gospel wherever we can. You know, my little biblical knowledge knows that much. And to keep somebody up and running, got to do what you got to do. I mean, don't make a deal with the devil.
Right.
But God gave us modern medicine, I believe. I don't know where you stand with that. I don't think Satan's out there creating heart transplants and, you know, other types of medical life-saving devices that we have.
Yeah, no, if I need something to save my life so I can continue preaching the word of God and talking to people and saving souls, all means, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at most of the miracles of Jesus, they were curing some type of disease, right? Or in Lazarus' case, he was already up in heaven in his mansion, and Jesus said, I want you to come on back down. I feel bad for that guy every time I read that story.
Yeah, right.
It's like, oh, man, I've had it all good already. And what I'm reading is there's 8.3 million Jehovah Witnesses worldwide. That's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'm not up to date on it now, but every year we would get a book at the end of the year that would tell you how many Jehovah's Witnesses, how many new ones there were, which countries are growing, which ones are declining, which actually they've been on the decline in membership for quite a long time. But
well, when you decide to change your mantras and whatnot, depending on the ebb and flow or how the elders are feeling. And so anything else that might be a rumor as opposed to truth for Jehovah Witnesses? That's
no, you know, nothing that I can really think of. There's so much out there now about Jehovah's Witnesses that you can go online and see.
That's what I'm doing. If you're out there listening, I'm cheating. I'm online right now.
Yeah, so not any really rumors that I've heard personally, but I haven't really been keeping in touch with them.
So one I did look up and saw that they finally started meeting in person again since the whole scandemic started 2 years ago. They went totally Zoom and digital. I guess, I mean, if you're not going to get any medical treatment or blood transfusions, maybe you don't want to be out there amongst the dirty heathens that are spreading the coronavirus, I guess. But that's crazy to just leave church for 2 years and be all right with that.
Yeah, I don't know how they could do it. I really, you know, my parents are still Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't really talk to them about it, but I couldn't leave church. I like that fellowship. It keeps me on fire. And, you know, we did for a little bit have to watch it online because we were sick at some point. But I really missed it. And going back and fellowshipping with everybody and just hearing the word of God in person, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. And part of that comes from maybe they don't like to get political, it says, Jehovah Witnesses. They want to be neutral. So to me, and I'm sure if you've listened to the show before, you've heard Becky or I talk about our stance on abortion and we need to abolish it and criminalize it. So for Jehovah Witnesses, do they hold that same sanctity of life starts in the womb?
Yeah. Yeah. As far as I can remember, abortion is murder. Thou shalt not murder. And that's part of it.
Fair enough. So if you are out there and you're a Jehovah's Witness listening, it's time to get off the fence. You have to pick the side, Jehovah's Witness. You know, you want to be encouraging people to follow Jehovah. Well, you need to encourage people to stop murdering babies. And, you know, I've read that they don't believe in military service, national anthems, or voting. Well, that's fair enough, but Jehovah's Witnesses started in Pittsburgh in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. So they were created in a country that God gave us our freedoms. So maybe it's time you take your 8.3 million Jehovah's Witnesses and knock on doors to end abortion, right?
Yeah, maybe use your power for something.
For good.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker does.
That's right.
Right. You talked about you didn't say excommunication, but what did you call it when your friend was de-churched? No.
I can't remember what I used, but excommunication, disfellowship. Yeah.
Disfellowship. I knew it was a much better word than de-churched, but
I think that's still a word, though.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big punishment, right?
Yeah, that is. You're basically now dead to everybody. Hmm. You're not allowed to talk to these people. They can still come to the Kingdom Hall, but they're not called on, they're not talked to, they're not greeted. If it's part of your family, you're supposed to treat them the same way. You don't talk to them. If you're under the age of 18 and you're living at home, that's fine because you're a minor. But once you turn 18, you are told to kick them out.
Hmm.
My sister is actually disfellowshipped, and my parents haven't talked to her for, it's probably 14, 15 years. I still do, because I was, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, and I don't believe that, but, mm-hmm. You know, I still talk to her, and I was the only one at her wedding. But she's essentially been act like she's dead. She doesn't see her brother. She doesn't see her nephews. And it's tough because it really pushes people away from religion and God. And it's tough to try and talk to her about it because now she's so far away. It's just disgusting to her. She doesn't want anything to do with it. And that's not what you should feel towards God who loves you.
Yeah. Who sent his son to die for you. Yeah. And that is sad. You know, as you were talking about, I thought about that. I was trying to think in the Bible. You know, there's a couple parts in the New Testament maybe where they say to, you know, if they are totally for Satan, then maybe get rid of them. Mm-hmm. But to me, the story of the Bible so much is about redemption, right?
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know what you would have to do to be de-churched. I like that. We're going to stick with that word. Because really, shouldn't we all be given that same chance at redemption that Jesus offers us?
Yeah, I think we should. And, you know, it's just a shame that the elders in the church choose to act like it's the word of God that they've made the decision to kick you out and that this is going to bring you back to God by not showing you love. Total opposite of what Jesus did when he was here.
Yeah, as he hung on that cross for my sin.
Yeah.
Just one sin, he went ahead and died, and I've got many a sin. Don't think I'm trying to tell you out there that it's just one sin I have. And that's a good segue there. I know God's in this interview today. They believe sins require two witnesses, and that is a biblical thing, but not for sins, right? It's from what I've read.
It is, if you have a problem with a brother or a sister in the church, if something's happened, you need two witnesses. Mm-hmm. And that's been a big problem because there is a big child abuse cover-up with the witnesses because they use this, and they essentially protect the perpetrator and act like it's the victim's fault.
That's wild. And, you know, I think that's a lot of stories I've heard of the Jehovah's Witness religion. And they've got it. They've missed it because it says it takes two witnesses to require a sin. Sin just happens. And in the Old Testament, it was like if a man stole your sheep, you needed another person to say, yeah, he stole that guy's sheep.
Yeah.
Which probably because that guy knew your mark that you put on the sheep. I think a lot of people, and Jehovah's Witnesses aren't the only religion to take that too far because they're doing damage to people. And, you know, my last question was the damage to self, but as you described what your sister's going through. I think, you know, the listeners out there can already kind of feel that letting it be run by elders, that sometimes you can take blood transfusions, sometimes you can't, can lead to a lot of conflicted issues. And then if you are to kick people out of your church because something maybe they did today is illegal, but 20 years ago wasn't, right?
Right. Yeah, it's really disheartening to see what happens, you know, especially when you, when the victim is brought in with the perpetrator and sat down. You know, no victim of abuse wants to go through that, sit down with the person who abused you just to hear you be told, well, sorry, there's not enough evidence, and have it not be reported. It's a shame because a lot of people are becoming atheist and totally being turned off from God because of how the Jehovah's Witnesses act in these certain situations.
That's wild. What I would have to say, if you're out there, I don't know if Jehovah's Witnesses listen to this. Do they listen to the radio?
Yeah, they're allowed to listen to the radio. Probably not this show, but...
Yeah, we might be a little too radical for them, but that's all right. But if you are a Jehovah's Witness elder and you're listening to this and you've sat through someone telling the abuse and you said, well, there was only one person, you will be judged for letting that person go the way that they did. If you think that you have some higher power and authority to judge somebody here on earth, you will also sit on that seat of judgment. And I pray for your soul when that time comes, because first you need to know who Jesus is. And if you're sitting here allowing harm to come to children, right? Jesus says it's better to have a millstone hung around your neck. The time will come. Well, Jared, we got about 45 seconds. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that if you are a Jehovah's Witness listening to this show, that there are other people out there who have gone through what you're going through. And if you feel like you need to leave, there is help out there. There are people who have the same story as you, and they have overcome it. And I just urge you to come to Jesus and let him into your heart and save you.
Amen. Jared, thanks again.
Thank you.
It's great having you. And for everybody else out there, remember to be sober and be vigilant.